closer.
Hey, everybody, it's the Pre-Accident Investigation Podcast. How are you? I hope you're doing great. It is another exciting day because we get to put out a podcast. And this one's kind of cool because you're going to meet somebody completely new, brand spanking new. You've probably not met her before. Well, maybe some of you have, but most of you won't have met her. And her name is Georgina Poole. And she, along with Sydney Decker, have written a book on Rutledge called Random Noise, Measuring Your Company's Safety Performance. How's that? Sound good? So there you go. I mean, that's the name of the book. There's more to it for sure. But I wanted to take some time and talk to both Sydney and Georgina about this book, because I think this book is tackling one of the bigger, more difficult questions that we have to ask. And that is metrics, measurements. They're tough. In fact, I think they're incredibly seductive and incredibly difficult. And you know, because I've said this before, I'm not certain there is such thing as a predictive metric. I want there to be a predictive metric, and there are in mechanical systems, but in actual systems involving human beings, I don't know. It's not like you can hear the bearings chatter, and that is a weak signal that tells you there's problems coming. Although as soon as I say that, you kind of can hear the bearings chatter, metaphorically, which would be a weak signal to tell you there's problems coming. I don't know. It's an interesting challenge, a very interesting challenge, but kind of a cool one. I mean, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And I think it's a noble, noble cause, and we might as well give it some attention. How are you? Things plugging along? I hope so. Like I say, it's getting more and more spring-like where I live, which is more and more fun because then there's more and more freedom. I think what I have, I've thought about it since I've talked about this so much with you guys, I think I might have cabin fever. In fact, it may be worse than cabin fever. I may have cabin pneumonia. And it's time to get out and do stuff, but not big stuff. Like, I don't really want to sit in airports that much. Not that excited to do that. But, you know, go out and explore the world, walk around, see stuff, poke at stuff, that kind of thing. That would be fun. That would be an incredibly good thing to do. And I'm looking forward to doing it. So stick around. I'll tell you more. Soon I will quit complaining about the weather and start talking about the stuff I'm doing. I am getting a lot of people who are seriously taking me up on the bike ride offer. And you know, that's real. If you want to come and go on a bike ride with me, we'll do it. I promise you, we can do it. We can make it happen. It's doable. I mean, you just have to get here and get a bike and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But that sounds harder than it actually is. But it'd be kind of fun. I'll show you the town because, you know, there's quite a bit to see in my little town and you'd have a great time. And it just keeps getting bigger and better. That's exciting, too. So we have new neighbors. Tugboat Ted and his lovely wife, Maggie, just moved into town. So we're getting quite a little amass of people who do this new form of safety for companies throughout the globe. And that's nice. That kind of makes for fun. We can get together and have a little meeting or a party or eat pizza. Those are things that are fun to do. Well, let's move on and do the pod because I think it's time to chat and enjoy the podcast. And there's so much to talk about. You're going to love Georgina. She's a breath of fresh air. And Sydney's right there as well. And the discussion is kind of an interesting one. So see what you think. Sit back and relax and enjoy this discussion on the highly, highly problematic topic of measuring things.
Studying under Sydney last year during the grad cert in safety leadership, one of the assignments was to review a research article and present it back to the group. The exercise for me as someone who's been, you know, in safety for quite some time has always been being that medium between the jargon that happens sometimes at the top end and making it understandable to the frontline workers. So I took the exercise a little bit further and kind of broke it down into layman's terms and gave it to the cohort of students in what I feel was very much basic understanding. And then from that, it kind of triggered that critical thought that I'm always up for, which is around the notion of metrics. And I guess Sydney thought there might have been something there in regards to, you know, exploring the topic further. And so the notion of the book came about from that.
Give us a little taste of what that looked like, how you translated those metrics into meaningful applied terms for people that are boots on the ground.
How? So it started with the CSRA's study. So I had known nothing about the work. I'd spent 18 years of my life as a boots on the ground safety advisor in organizations, particularly mining, oil and gas, and seeing injuries where people were covering it up because they didn't want to ruin that statistic. They didn't want to have their shirts de-embroidered. They didn't want to ruin the billboard out the front. I've posted a number of things on LinkedIn, for example, or, you know, you're celebrating 3,000, you know, injury-free days, for example, but I know for a fact you've got an ammonium leak at your plant. I know because I was the safety person at your plant and I laughed in your face when you said you're having a barbecue to celebrate those things. So for me, that metrics standpoint is I know it's real because I saw it firsthand. So it was a topic that was very close to my heart. I didn't have the academic understanding, hence, you know, when Sydney approached me for it, I thought it was a fantastic idea. I'd seen the personal stories of that impact it has and on people literally super gluing their injuries back together to not break the record, to not, you know, take it upon themselves to do that. So I wanted to get that message across and show people why it was. And Sydney was talking, we were talking about it in class and he made the comment that, you know, sometimes these metrics are just, it's just a load of random noise. And when we were talking about the titles for the book, I was like, that's the perfect title, right? To show people that it is literally, it means nothing. But the bottom line to what you're hearing about it means nothing is those workers that are out there right now are doing things like covering up their injuries because of that standard that you've set. Whether it be zero harm, which we also talk about in the book, or whether it be, you know, that metric of making sure you have zero or, you know, an LTI figure or whatever, or you're not going to get that project because your TRIFR rate isn't where it needs to be.
How did you approach even starting this book? I mean,
putting words on paper.
Well, no, that is how that's
literally, of course, we had to break it down into chapters and create a structure and then work out between the two of us who was doing what. But I think, you know, the writing styles are very different, as you heard, you know, an academic. I'm also not academic, you know, very operational. And I know there was a number of people that had concerns over, you know, Sydney's writing style is fantastic. And I could never say no to the opportunity to, you know, join and co-author a book with Sydney. But it was, for me, making sure that it remains something that a frontline leader could pick up, but also someone who's going to challenge their boards or their C-suite could also pick up and generate that critical thought around, why do we need to say what our injury frequency rates are or incident rates?
Does it leave the reader with answers?
Well, let's go there in a second. Because yeah, first, let's talk about the production of it because that's much more fun. I think. I mean, whoever reads it should answer that question that you just posed. Right?
Okay.
That's not that's ours to answer. Yeah. I think much more interestingly was the meeting of writing styles and so first of all, let me say a big thank you and shout out to Georgie for actually doing this because I had a publisher sending axe murderers after me for having signed a contract. I had a date, exactly. What is this book going to be? Oh my God. So thank you, Georgie. So, but the clash of writing styles actually resulted in some really interesting poetic phrases of feedback to Georgie after. No, you can call it whatever you want, but I already forgotten what I'd written to you, but it was quite colorful. And it's legitimate for the podcast. I think she can share some of this.
Well, at some point you use the phrase Sarah Palin.
Yeah, but that came later. That was mild. That was mild. Yeah. So let's do the first one.
Okay. The first rewrite, and obviously I need to premise this with you. As a student, you understand Sydney is controversial and he does push the envelope on a number of things. And if I hadn't have studied under him, I would have cried receiving the feedback. But understanding his speaking style and pushing the envelope really premised it when I received the first write. So we're talking 47,000 words. And the first write was like, his feedback was this reads like an undernuded anorexic that requires clothing.
What? Oh.
Please rewrite. And I'm like, mind you, I'm also full-time mum, full-time, like, student.
Those are not excuses.
So I'm doing my studies. I'm doing, you know, like, writing the book. I'm also consulting. I'm doing a number of things and podcasting and building my brand, all of that in the meantime. And then the person that you kind of, like, see as, like, a legend in the safety space, other than yourself, Todd, is, okay, like, telling you that you're, like, this book is, like, an undernuded anorexic that requires clothing. So I was only minimally deflated compared to if I had have been, you know, and you expect criticism when you write, like, especially, yeah. So
I'm still trying to count the number of ways that's insulting.
You can't. It is off the scale. Yeah.
Was there anything redeeming in that message? Or?
Not in that verse. No, there is, and there was nothing redeeming in the second one other than the second rewrite. So obviously you go back, you rewrite it, and then you send it back. And the second rewrite, he said I sounded like, so I don't remember the Mary Poppins part. He said, you sound like Sarah Palin and you need to get off like the Sarah Palin horse and save that for when you're invited to present on the topic. That's when you can be Sarah Palin. And then he says he wrote that I should sound more like Mary Poppins. But as someone who's been in mining and oil and gas, I'm not sure that Mary Poppins is the right approach you want.
Yeah,
it could like be. 1,200 operational personnel at
Sarah
5
Palin
a.m.
fits
morning,
better.
Like a Sarah Palin is who they would listen to, not Mary
not with
Poppins
my name on it.
And I don't want to be seen as Mary Poppins at all. Like I'm much more Sarah Palin in my views on safety and where we need to go. Hence the, yeah, when I post, it's a hard line, right? Like, you know, some of the things I've said is like, stop with the stupid safety slogans. Like, so it's not, I'm not a dance on the edge of, you know, controversy. I'm more hardline.
Right.
Yeah. With my views.
So when you do these rewrites, did you pretty much start again or were you able to salvage some of it, most of it?
No. Yeah, you know, like the filler words. The concepts are there. So you have to rewrite the concept again and still make sure that it's legible and in layman's terms and do that. So no. So ChatGPT like had a part to play. I'm like, I need this to sound like, and the one thing I will say is I wanted to make sure it stated reading grade level 12. So no more than reading grade level 12. So that literally a frontline operator could pick it up and go, I understand the topics and the notion of what this is trying to get at, and then take it up the chain of command and challenge it. So the third rewrite, he said it was delicious, and that was
delicious. It's no better than delicious.
Is really delicious is good
because I didn't even think delicious was a word that you know, like Sid would use. So
see that's the highest compliment.
Yeah, I was like, this is great.
How much time between write one and rewrite three?
Would we take about 5 months?
Yeah, 5 months.
And I remember
quick turnaround.
The publisher was asking for it, and I was like,
asking is a very nice way to put it.
They were asking for it, but you know, they write in a style. Anyway, they asked for it, and as a, you know, like an amateur author, I didn't know the process. I was like, we need to like get it out. And Sid was like, we'll get it to them when we get it to them.
You know, like, what can they do, right? What, you know, have no levers.
But I was like, oh no, like, you know, like they're calling us and they want this done. And we will get to it when we get to it. So I was trying to also, you know, like I'm thinking ahead, if there's another book like down the track that I want to write, I want to stay in their good books, but at the same time, it's like, you know, someone you're looking up to going, no, we're going to make them wait. So it's almost like playing this like,
not necessarily.
Cop, bad cop. Look, Sydney said you got to wait.
you're waiting.
Yeah.
Have you done the audiobook yet?
No. So I did ask if it was okay to do the audio, but they want the paper to come out first and then they'll, and the aim, I asked if I could narrate.
Oh,
the,
you guys have to narrate.
Yeah.
Because people want to hear that. And I would give
didn't
you
know that, but that's something I've had quite a few people ask about.
You can be Sarah Palin then.
Then you can totally be Sarah Palin.
But I think it's great if people have a voice for it, because we all know there's audiobooks where it's quite monotone and
that's not it.
But I feel like I could make it, and I know Sid could definitely as well make it fun and engaging, and you actually get that feeling of what we're trying to say without it just being words on a page.
And I'll give you one little pro tip.
What's that?
When you do the audiobook, add a bonus chapter.
Ooh.
Just set
up a mic. You have to write more. We have to write more.
No, you don't have to write more. What I would do is like add this podcast.
Ah.
Okay.
Because then it gives them a reason to buy both the printed copy and the audience.
Yeah, that's true.
And most safety people will buy both. I mean, it's really common to buy both because they listen to the audiobook.
Sure.
You know, on the way to the side or from the side.
That's the thing that people ask. Like, you need the audiobook.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the other idea is potentially translations down the track.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
You know, like a Portuguese and specifically those countries where we know that safety may not be seen as, you know, something that is normally done.
Yeah, that's a whole different.
That's like my future thing. I like the idea of having, you know, books that are multilingual and perhaps, you know, are accessible across.
Are you happy with the book? Do you guys like it? I mean, is the product?
I am, but it's got your name on it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very happy with the way that it finished and the way that it leaves people kind of generating that thought. So, yeah.
I'm very happy with it.
Good. That's what I...
Too late now.
and yet it's one of the more difficult, certainly potentially controversial topics we could have.
Yeah, we saw the breath intake on, you know.
Yeah, I tend not to shirk those topics.
No, that's never been your problem.
It's not right. Yeah.
That's for sure.
No, life is too short.
But there's a couple other metrics books that have come out recently as well, right?
There are a number of books on, you know, metrics and challenging that. This one speaks to mainly the total recordable, you know, incident rates or TRIFR, injury frequency rates we have here in Australia, and lost time injury frequency rates. But we've kind of brought together about 20 or so kind of research studies from globally around the world. And this book talks to multiple industries. So we call on stats from aviation, we call on stats from oil and gas, we call on stats from a whole heap of industries. So it's not just a general, you know, give it to the oil and gas industry and here you go. It does apply across multiple.
Anything surprising?
So, absolutely. So anything surprising. One of the things that we did for the hell of it, this is a study that we commissioned earlier and had some help with. Because you need to understand statistics really well to do this, and I can't even relate it, but you may know, you may remember the numbers, Georgie. What we wanted to show is, so what should the injury drop be from 1 year to another to statistically be confident that it is due to an intervention that you as a manager made, other than being random noise? I do not recall, but the number is something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's huge.
Like hundreds of thousands,
and,
right?
And actually, it's the amount of time it takes for you to get data to even track that is like at least 100 months. So that means that for you to actually show, like to demonstrate that you as a manager have
you
made
will have
an impact,
retired.
Yeah, like you will no longer be. I mean, we did see today that was a few people.
Yeah,
they went to
48 years
for
in
like 48 years. But most of us, you know, like in the industry, changed jobs, you know, 3 to 4 years, you know, roughly. So even that amount of time as a manager is not enough for you to say, I impacted that injury rate or I did this with him and it's effective. Like it's not enough time.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought about was the confidence intervals. So there was a lot of things with the CSRA study on the way that, you know, we talk about injury rates. And they were saying rather than giving it a totality, like your rate is a decimal point, you know, 0.125, whatever, we should actually be thinking of injury rates in terms of confidence intervals. So it is likely for you to have an injury. I'm 90% confident.
Yeah, looking
that,
forward.
You know, that forward looking, which is something nobody's talking about that, right? Like nobody is saying the likelihood of you having an injury, you know, the confidence, I'm confident that this is what you're going to have an injury and that's what the rate will be. And that's something that as a safety professional, I've never heard before. So,
and yet incredibly common in statistics. I mean, it's
to make those predictions.
Incredibly, super normal. Like the idea. I really do like the idea that 100 months is what, because it makes me think of the proverb, old men plant trees, they'll never sit underneath or.
Yeah, right. That sounds pretty good.
I mean, that's an interesting concept for sure.
It's one of those things I think it speaks to sustainability. You know, like I think when you implement change within an organization, it's either put in, you know, and implemented sustainably through systems and processes, or it's driven by someone annoying like myself that has the personality and drive and we're going to, you know, change the world. And I can think of a number of organizations where change has failed because it wasn't systems and processes driven. It was people driven, right? And once those people who are the change drivers leave, the change also leaves with them. Or they leave remnants of it, but it's not implemented effectively. So for 100 months, you have to be driving that, and that change needs to have been implemented across a number of, you know, different factions, elements within the organization. So,
Did your RQ look at the metrics themselves? Like, are we measuring the right things? Did you look at
Of course, we gave alternative ideas, and due diligence index standard is one of those alternatives that we, you know, put forward as something, you know, to consider. But, you know, and we've heard talk about it, right? Like, are leading indicators actually leading indicators of dread?
Leading indicators is correct. It's the big lie.
Are
they not gameable?
That's right. Yeah. We place so much emphasis on after the fact.
But one thing I learned from the medical community is that they constantly are changing their performance metrics. They change what they measure.
Yeah.
And they measure the things they can, the metrics point to what they need to measure next, usually. And I think that's an interesting idea, but who knows where that'll go.
Changing. I think the wrong thing, or the not so right thing to do. And I unfortunately had this experience where I had a manager say, it's a trucking organization. They poignantly asked me about my views on metrics. Their response to a question I asked was, we start with a quantitative measure, as in we give our truck drivers a measure for hazard reports and, you know, what they're going to report on, and then we work backwards to a qualitative measure. And for me, that's probably the backwards way of going about things in the first place. You can't start with giving your people a number, because what you measure matters. So you're telling your company, hey, we're measuring this because it matters, but then you haven't given them the foundational knowledge and experiences and skills and culture and everything else that goes along with a metric in the first place to be there. So you can't expect them to report. So giving a truck driver a metric of 17 hazards per week, or whatever, you know, ridiculous number you want to give them, is not appropriate when you don't have a culture of even understanding what a hazard is in the first place.
So did you come out of this more frustrated?
Yes. And it's something that happens all the time, right? Like, and that's what I mean. But you will get the criticism, you know, like around the number. Numbers matter, and organizations, and we're talking large global companies out there, will listen to this podcast, read the book, and be like, it's a load of rubbish. You know, like, I will still stick to my TRIR. I will still, stick to my lost time injury frequency rates as the measure for capacity of safety, right?
Until you ask them why.
Yeah, that's right.
And they can't really answer.
Yeah.
What did you learn, Sydney, working with Georgina? I mean, how fun was that?
Oh, it was great fun. I think what I learned, I sort of had learned this already, but to see confirmed that mothers of younger children can be ferociously efficient.
Yeah.
Her production rate was scary.
If you want to get something done, ask a business person.
Absolutely.
He probably wasn't expecting the emails that I would send to be like, and because I was like the amateur in this as well, like, you know, since published a number of books, me being like the fangirl. And then there was, he doesn't know, I also emailed like in the back of the scenes, like the publisher, and be like, hey, so I'm new at this. What are the next steps? And she was lovely. Like, how
cool. Oh, she was. And you didn't CC me in those.
No,
right?
I didn't.
Good. No, that's smart.
I wanted to, I was like, what's the next step? And because for me, I was like, I'm getting a book. I was like telling people about it. It's going to be awesome. I was like, it's going to be a 3-month turnaround. And then I wrote to her and she was like, yeah, no.
It's going to be like eight months. You have
something tangible if you're lucky to give people. I'm like, okay, that's good. So timing it with like the Choll conference, for example, as a launch date of it is one of the things that's exciting.
So you're thinking it's coming out this summer then?
10th of June. 10th of June. And that's
Sydney's publisher told you that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That is it.
I didn't know this.
That is the date, or it being advertised currently on everything. There are no hiccups with publications. Everything's been given the go ahead. So we did last couple of weeks. There was like a week where had to be available like immediately to respond to any immediate publication requests. I think it's at the copy stage. So the actual, you know, printing part now.
Wow, really?
Yeah, which is exciting.
That's exciting. That's very exciting.
It is exciting.
And so you're planning to go to CHOL and set up a little autograph table?
Not an autograph table, but my plan is to be there with the book. I don't know if I'm going to autograph.
You're not going to sign him?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm happy to, but that's not the aim of going to a conference. Like, I'm not going there to.
That's the whole entire aim, to go to the conference.
You go to a conference to learn and absorb and potentially, you know, spruik your ideas and challenge the audience. But I've never thought of it as a promotion.
You go for the buffet table.
Right. Well, yes. The food is always different in America, so yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, how fun. I mean, it's exciting. It's such an important topic that it would be fun to read. Is it dry and boring?
I don't think so. I know when I initially started writing, I did include some personalized stories, but they didn't fit. So, you know, when I first sent it out, there was some, I actually had some cases, like, you know, I worked with a guy who literally like almost cut his arm off and then went back and he didn't even want to tell me as the safety person on site that he'd had an injury because he knew the ramifications of that with our frequency rates. And working for major builders in Australia, where that rate is what determines from a safety presence whether or not you're going to win a contract. Yeah, and that's yeah. still right now, like yeah. in organizations, if your TRIFR rate is below, you know, above, you know, 2.2, which is the industry benchmark, then you're seen as a crappy contractor.
Right. You won't get the gig.
That doesn't tell you anything. It's like when you ask a contractor to send you their safety management system or, you know, some documents and they send you 3,000 documents, but not the ones you ask for. That's not what, you know, what safety is in inverted commas, right? Like, so that's the thing with putting those personalized stories. It didn't fit the writing style that we were going for. Potentially may have been too lower level for where we want to challenge the thought, which is at that upper levels of management who go to the board and say, hey guys,
this is. So that's a really good question. Who'd you write for?
I felt like it was written for GM level, management level, those people that are invited to go to the board, to go to their C-suite. To give to them. And I'll take a page out of Sam Goodman's book. So he says that one of the things he does is anonymously send like books to leaders that he wants to influence. So I thought about
it.
Yeah, I thought that's a really cool idea, right? So as an idea, if you can't influence the board directly by giving them a copy of Georgina Insin's book, perhaps you could anonymously mail it to them and just, you know, Alina gets it on his desk and thinks,
so
oh,
leaders beware
from
the 10th of June onwards.
I really like it.
Start
I
looking thought, at your mailbox.
Yeah, that's right. There are a number of organizations that could their leaders could do with reading it. And then that should give them the confidence to then go to their boards if their board, you know, are not reading it themselves.
Well, have you put teaser pages on your websites or anything? Is there a place where they can go and get a taste?
Not yet, because we're waiting for the cover image because on a website you need a cover image.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, on the Rutledge page there is a cover image.
Yeah, but they haven't sent it to me. Okay, so we could rip that one
abstracts for each chapter. And there is also all the endorsements from the people that got to read that. So there's an abstract for each chapter on there, which does go into a little bit of detail.
A little pre-read.
Yeah. So on the Rutledge website, which is literally like, you know, rutledge.com/the book's title. So Random Noise Measuring Your Company Safety Performance. That's like a landing page for it. So I know this because I've been to it.
You would have. You sound like you have been there. Yeah,
I have been 100%. Because, I mean, they asked for the content and I wanted to know, well, why do you need this? Like, you want me to write literally like another, I think there's 10 chapters. So another 2,500 words like of time I don't have. Like, where is this going? What is its purpose? So
yeah,
I'm very much about understanding the background as to why you want something, not just doing something for the sake of doing it. So I wanted to know, where are you putting it? They're putting it on the website. So yes, it is live. There is abstracts. And on my most recent podcast that I did, I actually read an excerpt from the book so that people would get a little teaser of what you might
brilliant.
Find.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's
good.
It. Yes.
Well, so, thanks for your time, you guys. It's been amazing.
Awesome.
I look
Thank
forward
you.
To it.
Happy
and so
to
will everyone else.
Hopefully. Awesome. Thanks.
So what do you think? I told you. Isn't she a breath of fresh air? I think she made Sydney and I sound boring and lazy. That's energy right there. And it reflects in the book too. It's an interesting read. That is for sure. And it's an interesting problem. And I'm glad people are out there thinking about it. I mean, that makes a huge difference as well. So that was a very fun conversation. I'm so glad you got to be a part of it. Enjoy. Please enjoy it and tell your friends, tell anybody. They're all welcome. Learn something new every single day. Bet you did today. Have as much fun as you possibly can. Be good to each other. Be kind to each other. And for goodness sakes, you guys, be safe.